I've never been to therapy. I've never been to therapy. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Self-Reacquaintance. I am so glad to have you here again with me today. I told you when I started the podcast that I have a lot to share. I have a lot to say about so many things in life. And today's topic is deeply personal, but I think it is also relatable to many of us. We are talking about therapy and the importance of it, but with a twist. The main focus for today's episode is the privilege of not having had to go to therapy. It is really about a reflection on privilege, safe spaces, and growing up in a loving home. Also, today I'm so relaxed. I think ever since I started the podcast, this is the first time I am so relaxed. I'm recording in the morning because my life is just always busy. I find myself recording around 5 p.m. because my target is to release at a certain time, and I always miss that time because I still have to edit and today, for the first time, I'm available on a Saturday. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anything to do other than cleaning the house, the laundry, and I'm just sitting at home, relaxed. Kids are playing outside, and I'm just relaxed. And I love this feeling that when I do this podcast, I'm in this space, you know? So yeah, let's start. I have never been to therapy, and I don't feel bad about it. So please don't feel bad for me, because actually, I think for me, this is something to flex about. I think it is a privilege to say that I've never been to therapy in this many years of my life. And, you know, as we start, I want to make it clear, though, that therapy is incredibly valuable. It's one of the most powerful tools for healing, for self-discovery and growth. I know that many people have had their lives genuinely changed for the better through therapy. Therefore, believe me when I say I wholeheartedly support anyone who firstly is able to identify that they have a problem and then seek out help. People who faces their fears and experiences and find new strength and clarity through therapy. I support you and I applaud you. Totally. Because we know what they say about but canceling everything that she said earlier. So I'm not canceling anything. Everything I said is true. I support you and I applaud you for going to therapy. So here's my story. I've never been to therapy. Well, I don't know if marital counseling also counts as therapy, because if it does, then I guess I've been. But honestly, I've never been to therapy outside of that kind of a setup. And I consider this a big privilege, because for many people, therapy is a necessary tool to cope with trauma, to deal with hardships, or even just the everyday stress. And that can sometimes feel so overwhelming. But for me personally, my journey has been completely different. And that difference starts in my childhood. I believe my parents created a safe space, loving environment that provided so much stability for me. I have siblings, and I know that they also had a fairly safe life, but I just want to talk about me, because we may be in the same room, but experience the same event differently. Because while we love each other so much and we are such a close, tight knit, we are not the same person. I mean, even twins, those people who come here using the same transport, you know, those ones, they still have different experiences. They have different feelings and different perspectives because they are individuals. So we are not the same person, and therefore I'm just going to focus on my experience. So for me, It felt safe. My childhood, my home growing up, I felt safe. It felt stable. And looking back now, I realize how unusual that stability is. And I am so grateful for it. Perhaps we need to start by talking about therapy itself. I am learning now that it is a space where you can explore the complexities of who you are, and then it helps you work through traumas and or even just understand yourself better. I understand now that it's actually wonderful because it takes place in a non-judgmental setting where a professional guides you as you navigate your thoughts, emotions, and experiences. But before we proceed, can I just say this first? Let's give professional therapists and pastors a big shout out for doing the kind of work that they are doing. I mean, dealing with people's problems and difficulties every single day, and then being able to separate yourself from that after each session so that it doesn't become your burden and also it doesn't bleed into your personal life. I think that's a skill not all of us have. It takes a special kind of a person to do this kind of work. But for some of us, while we want to be there, sometimes it just gets too much to a point 90, we end up ourselves needing outlets. I just wanted to say shout out to the professional therapist, shout out to the pastors who are also playing this role. So therapists are trained to help people through some of their life's hardest moments, such as loss, grief, trauma, and even everyday stressors that can add up over time. They provide tools for your emotional resilience, for managing your mental health conditions, for finding peace within yourself and understanding. And for so many people, it's a lifeline, really. A therapy is a lifeline, a place where they can be heard, be vulnerable, and where they feel safe or they are safe. But here's where my story diverges just a little bit. I have not had to seek therapy, or that's what I think at least. And I say this with so much gratitude in my heart, understanding just how fortunate that makes me. It is a privilege, truly. You see, in my childhood, I didn't experience anything so traumatic that left me needing outside help to heal or to cope with anything. I grew up in a home where I felt safe. I felt totally loved, not always heard, but to a point, I was heard and I was protected. So just to give you context, I'm saying not always heard because I am the only child out of all my siblings who stayed at home from the day they were born right through matric. I only moved out after matric when I was going to tertiary, to university. So all my siblings, at some point in their schooling years, they either stayed at a boarding school or moved to the flat that the parents bought in Pretoria so that they would be closer to their schools and. But I didn't get that opportunity. So there was a time or phase where I started acting out a little because I said, I also want to go stay somewhere away from home, away from the parents, just so that I also have that experience. And I even indirectly wrote a letter to my parents where I was venting and then pretended to have left it by mistake on my nightstand where I knew my mom was definitely going to see it. And indeed, she found it. She read it, but didn't feel sorry for me. That woman, she actually shouted at me for it. She shouted at me instead because in the letter, I was also threatening to disappear. You see, I said I was going to disappear if they don't make something, if they don't do something, they don't move me to some place. I don't know where I was going to disappear. But that was not the first time I used such threats. I think that's then why my mom was not moved or shaken, because much earlier in life, I might have been 8 years or so, but I still remember this. I packed all my clothes. Okay, not all of them, but I packed clothes and my baby sister's clothes, who would have been, I think, 4 years or so at the time. She was still a baby. I packed our clothes in the bag of oranges, you know, umgodla, that orange bag. And because I think she had disciplined us for something, she was shouting or whatever, I can't remember for what. And then we decided that we were moving out of the house and we packed our clothes and we were going to go to the granny front opposite us. She was our gogo, okay, not by blood, but she was our gogo and someone who was always assisting my parents whenever we didn't have nannies. We grew up with nannies, but when we didn't have nannies, gogo was always around to assist. So I'm recording on a Saturday and I'm hearing someone screaming somewhere outside. But anyway, I hope I'm able to remove that sound in the background. So my mom knew my threads very well and she wasn't moved. So yeah, that's why I'm saying I was not always heard, but they did hear me in other things. Therefore, I want to appreciate that. But on a serious note, I still say my parents did their very best to create an environment that nurtured me and they succeeded. And believe me, I don't take that for granted. I think it is because of that that I am also trying every day of my life to give my kids that love, that stability, that safety and protection. I remember one big incident. Do we call it incident or an event that could have shaken my world, that truly could have left me feeling vulnerable and possibly depressed? That is when we lost our big sister. When we lost our sister, I remember it was a December, and the following January, the following year, I was going to start with my matric. I was going to matric and I was sitting one day thinking, this is a disaster. I don't think I'll make it in my matric year. I don't think, not if this is how I am starting it. But even in those moments, my family was there. Our parents, who also to this day felt and continue to feel this unimaginable pain and loss, they shielded me. Or they shielded us from the worst, making sure we knew that we were safe and that they were there for us. Their consistency, their presence, it helped to make me feel grounded. I think also this is the year where I learned to cry to God, to pour my heart out to God and just pray. I prayed a lot during that time. People would come bringing prayers at home, and I used that opportunity to pray so much that I ended up being able to pray even when I was alone. I was still fairly young, and I think that was young. I mean, going to matric, things are different now, but for me then, I felt young, and I really learned, and there was this growth in my spiritual life during that period, and this thing, the event that could have destroyed me, it didn't. Because of this safety, this protection, this stability, this love that I got from my family. Of course, life isn't always smooth. This loss, without a doubt, was a painful experience. One thing I am grateful for is that my family grieved together. Guys, can I tell you, we were together throughout this healing journey. We didn't push our feelings aside. We were allowed to feel and process them together. I even remember someone saying maybe they should arrange medication for us so that we can be able to deal with that week leading up to the actual funeral and also at the actual funeral. But my parents refused. They said, nope. Let them feel this, let them go through this and feel it and be present. And I think I appreciate my parents for that, for protecting us and for allowing us to go through it and to feel it. And I think they were 100% right. We felt it and we are here now. I believe that's why I was able to later accept that loss. We supported each other, held each other up, and allowed ourselves to heal at our own pace. This also showed me that in some ways, family can be its own form of therapy, I believe, by just being there for each other, allowing each other to properly grieve. Maybe that sometimes can be enough, that alone, that you are together, going through this thing together, grieving together for the person that you loved so dearly together. I think that can be therapy. But anyway, I'm no expert. So I realize now that it's a rare gift. It is rare to grow up without experiences that demand therapy later in life. And that safety, that security, I have my parents to thank for. Another thing, I was raised in a home where I didn't visit people a lot. In fact, even now, I think I describe myself as a homebody because I love people. I really do. I feel like I'm defending myself. I love people. I truly love people, but I don't particularly enjoy spending time in other people's homes. And it's not personal. It is just my comfort zone. I have to be in my home or my parents' home or my siblings' homes because there I'm able to be myself completely. It's tiring to have to try to be something else just because you are in someone's house and you have to, you know, not to be too free or too relaxed. And so it gets exhausting. So I want to be relaxed. I want to be comfortable. And I can't be comfortable totally everywhere all the time. So I prefer to be home. Even growing up, I spent most of my time at home. Home was where I felt most safe, where I was free to just be. And remember, there were no cell phones at that time, but I was just home. I went to school, came back and went straight home. I did go play with other kids outside in the streets, not far from home. I think I played enough. We played. I would also go to my neighbor's places, not a lot, but I would sometimes to play because I just preferred to be at home. And the nice thing about my childhood is that even the people I was playing with at the time, people that I grew up with, the neighbors and they didn't mind coming to me, to my home. So I think they understood, even when we did not communicate that I'm a homebody, they just knew that Uzanele doesn't like going to other people's houses. So they would come to me. They didn't mind. I didn't mind. And it worked out for all of us. And I think I'm glad that no one felt like it was unfair. We all enjoyed it. We played and it worked. And it worked for all of us. And I appreciate them also, those people that I grew up with, because yeah, that was our childhood. We played a lot. We didn't have phones. Tina, we played. That's why sometimes I feel so sorry for these kids now. Even today, I had to chase these ones out because they want to play with the phones. They talking about roadblocks and things that I don't know. They want to be on TV. I'm like, no, you have to go play. So they have to go outside and play. So I just want to thank my parents. I think I've been thanking them since I started with the podcast, but I just want to, who made home a space where I felt so safe and secure. And as I look at my own children, I realize that this comfort and security is something I want them to have as well. Did I already speak about my kids? I think I already said this, but I don't know. Yes, I want to give them this. I want to give them what I had and more. I want to create an environment where they can thrive. When it comes to my own kids, I know that I also have this firm room. The most important room is that there will be and there are no sleepovers. They will have to forgive me until at this age, they've never slept over. No matter how much I trust someone, or how close we are, the idea of my children sleeping outside of my immediate family's home just isn't something I'm comfortable with. They'll visit my parents for sleepovers. They will visit my siblings' houses because they have cousins. They'll visit my husband's siblings. But outside of that, no, I can't. It's not a judgment of anyone. It is honestly just about creating a protective space for them. That's one of the things I appreciate most about my own upbringing. My parents gave me that protective space, and now I want to pass the same sense of safety down to my children. I don't want them, because they slept at some person's house and then later in life need therapy to heal from whatever traumatic event that took place when mommy was not there, when papa was not there. I don't want to put them in a situation. So I always say I'm a paranoid parent. I'm very paranoid. I'm very cautious when it comes to my kids. And I think I'd rather that I can't be a relaxed parent, not in this day and age, not in South Africa. Actually, it's not even a South Africa problem. It is something that happens that we see everywhere. I think it is just important to protect your kids. You may be trusting these people, but we don't know. We don't know what a person is capable of. And because of that, I think I'll just rather be overly cautious and just protect my kids in the best way I know how. I don't want them having to fight to heal later in life. That's that. As a parent myself today, I realize it's my responsibility to continue with that legacy. I believe my kids deserve that same sense of security and of stability and of safety. And this is not always easy. It's not always easy. And of course, the world is different now than it was when I was a child. But I believe that by being fully present in raising them, by listening to them, by showing up for them consistently, we can create homes that nurture and protect these beautiful people. And just like my parents did for me, I want my kids to grow up knowing and feeling that no matter what happens outside, home is always and will always be their safe haven. So to anyone listening today who has been to therapy, who has sought help, who has worked hard to overcome and heal, I honor you truly. Therapy is powerful, and I believe in it wholeheartedly. I believe it can totally transform your life. And I also have been through a lot as an independent adult who now has her own home outside of her parents' home, who has to go to work, who has to raise kids and take care of all life's demands and still get time to rest. I may also need therapy, but what I won't be going to therapy for is my childhood, is my upbringing, because that one is covered. So whatever trauma, whatever challenge that I may need help with, it will be for Uzanele as an adult. It will be because of how overwhelming life gets sometimes. And I realized I got burnt badly in 2022 when I spoke to the wrong people. And you know, I knew it was the wrong people, but I continued because the space they were good to create or convince me that they have created a space for me to really be honest and speak my heart, you know. And I spoke to the wrong people about my life's challenges. And I learned the hard way that outside of God, outside of your tribe, and those people that God gave you to talk to, maybe the only other person you can share your true emotions and feelings is the therapist. Or maybe your pastor. Only. Allow God to guide you. Don't just open your mouth everywhere. Don't share everything with everyone. Listen first. God will show you. Trust me, God shows you. Because the aftermath can be disastrous. I'm not sure if disastrous is the word I'm looking for, but it can be very bad. It can make a bad situation worse. It can make it worse. So don't just open your mouth anywhere and everywhere. Do go to therapy. I support it. I encourage you. It is important. I've been reading about it. It is important. Sometimes you just need that little assistance in how to go on, how to live, how to do life, you know. And to my parents again, if you are listening, they better be listening. They should be listening and downloading actually. Thank you so much. Thank you for being that steady, unwavering presence in my life. Even now, at this big age, I am so grateful for you and for everything you have given me and my little family. Thank you so much for giving me my siblings also and instilling the same sense of family wood and support in them. Thank you to my sisters for your love and consistency in my life. Oh, my sisters who have been there from day one. I thank God that I don't need therapy to heal from you, to heal from our relationships. I thank God for that and I don't take it for granted. To my community, my listeners, wherever you are in the world, thank you for spending this time with me today. I hope you walk away from this episode with a new appreciation for the people in your life who have been that source of stability. I hope you have a new perspective on how we can create, or you can create, those spaces for yourself and for those people that you love. Thank you again for tuning in today. Until next time, stay safe, take care, stay blessed, and cherish those safe spaces and people in your life. God bless and goodbye.